Second part of this passage here that we're dealing with, and the title that we've studied through this chapter is Understanding Our Purpose and Being. And we're looking at these three statements or these three declarations that our Lord gives. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And many of us know these verses. Many of us have used this verse very well to declare and tell the gospel message. And certainly it does, in that effect, validate and prove and display the gospel of Christ. But what I'm going to show you this morning is a little bit more of a twist on this study and a little bit more eye-opening. I will tell you, I love this passage here simply because after studying it, I've never looked at it quite this way. And it is amazing, I've shared before, about how the Word of God itself is inexhaustive, is it not? There is something to glean from it at one point in your life that you're going through, and you can go back to that same passage and you can look at it again and you get a whole different take on this passage. Same interpretation, tremendously distinct application with it all. But as we look at God's Word, one of the things that I want to show you as our Lord speaks, that oftentimes as He shares the truths of who He is and the promises that He offers, there's often a twofold meaning or relevance, if you will, to what He is saying. As a matter of fact, to back up and illustrate my point a little bit here, as you look back in the Old Testament, one of the most prevalent and well-known books of the Bible, the book of Isaiah there, you'll see that great declaration of the coming of our Lord as Isaiah prophesies, if you will. And the Bible declares there in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Emmanuel, right? And what does that mean? God is with us. And it's so beautiful when you look in that passage there and you look at the historical record and what is going on and what Isaiah is, the reasoning behind Isaiah's writing there is what's going on is Ahaz is king at that point, and the other nations are coming at this point to basically pounce on this little tiny nation Israel, because their king prior to, King Uzziah, if you look back in previous chapters of that, had died. Okay? And you can often imagine, you know, if our country, if we had a great event or catastrophe where our leadership had passed in some way, it would send us in absolute turmoil and disarray. Many of us would be scared to death or worried about what's going to happen next. And often that's the case in our lives, isn't it? When something doesn't go the way we're expecting it to, or the way we want it to, or something that is typically out of our hands, we're often, the instinctive response is that sense of anxiety, if you will. And it's wonderful here, because when we look at that passage in Isaiah there, if you will, and what God is saying through Isaiah to Ahaz, it says, listen, a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which is God is with us. Okay, you look at that and see when the timeline of all that occurred. Well, Christ didn't actually come to this world until several hundred years, almost 1,000 years later there, if you will. And so you look at that and you think, that's great and wonderful that it means God is with us, but what does that do for us right now? Right? And it's neat when you look at that passage there, God applies that whole prophecy not just in the ultimate setting in which Christ will come one day, but that indeed there is this woman. As a matter of fact, you look at it historically, it was Isaiah's wife. Isaiah said, my wife's going to bear a child, he's going to be a son, and that's going to be evidence to you, Ahaz, that God is with you during this great crisis that you're facing. And the reason why I give that example is this, folks. Because when we look at John 14, 6, and Christ speaks to those disciples, and he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That gives us eternal connotation there. And it's great and wonderful and good and beautiful that great, you know what? I've got heaven to look forward to. I am hope bound, if you will, not hopelessness in it all. But what about the here and now? Christ is certainly the way in which He is the means by which we attain eternal life. We attain redemption. We attain reconciliation back to the Father. But is He the way also right now? Isn't it beautiful that our Lord speaks to us? And He speaks to us in a way that gives relevance not just to the spiritual or the celestial setting, but also here on this earth, folks. He knows what you and I face. He knows the needs that you and I have. He knows the very cries of our heart. And I believe that Christ answers those questions that pertain to the present moments that you and I are in, the circumstances that we face, just as well as to the eternal hope that we have in heaven. Do you believe that today? Christ said, I've come that you may have life, right? And that you might have it more abundantly. He came that we might have life and life eternal. But life as well in all that it was meant to be, all that it was designed to be here on this earth. And that our life is complete. Our life is full. Not in the material things of this world, not in the experiences of this world, not in the relationships of this world, but in the person of Jesus Christ who dwells within us while we're on this world. Wow. And when we look at that sense of, I am the way this morning, we think of that concept in terms of a sense of direction or guidance, if you will. And many of us are going through our lives thinking about where we're at now, what we're going to be doing down the road, where we're going to be at there, what the situation is all going to look like. And a lot of what we do, a lot of what we involve in our lives, a lot of where we are at and where we're going, all those different things, brings that sense of meaning, if you will. But and it is a sense of meaning, I think, that outside of Christ is really boils down to a lack of meaning or meaningless. In it all. And Christ says, I am the way, my sense of direction that I prescribe to you will give you a sense of meaning and relevance and reason to your life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that exciting that you can draw that from there? Isn't it amazing that the words of Christ have life in that setting, in that sense, that not just breathe to the eternal itself, but to the here and now? That Christ is just as much relevant for my life when my life is over and the life to come, but He's just as relevant for my life even now. He is the way, if you will. We're looking today, we're looking at this concept of the quest for reason. And in John 14, 6, we see all the answers of the human heart that we perpetually cry out for. In this, we look at who we are. You ever look at yourself in the mirror one morning, wake up, and you think, who am I really? You ever look at your wife across the table after 20 years, or 25 years, or maybe 61 years, Jack? You think, who is that person really? Don't we go through these questions oftentimes? They arise through circumstantial reason in our lives. We are asking why we are. This is the cry of this world. Why are we here? Why are we in this place? Why are we doing this job or this position, whatever it may be? You know, I remember working in the factory. And I remember every morning, I'll bet there wasn't a day went by that I didn't hear this statement. We'd walk by and, you know, you'd glance at people as you walk by and you'd greet them and you'd say, how are you doing, brother? And you'd always get this typical response, living the dream, man, living the dream.
And you knew they weren't living the dream, let me tell you that right now. They were living everything but the dream. They weren't happy about their situation. They weren't happy about their finances. They weren't happy about their marriage even, because most of them didn't go home after work. Most of them went to the bar after work or to the casino or whatever it might be. They weren't happy about who they were even. Isn't it neat? When it's all about us, there's just a constant sense of disappointment. There really is. But when it's about Christ, when we look to the author and finisher of our faith, when we look to the one who supplies our every need, we see a clear sense of direction. We see a clear sense of meaning and fulfillment to our lives. The reality is that this world is searching for that very thing. The reality is that in Christ, we have that very thing. And sadly, the reality is, I believe, man, I'm speculating in all this, but there's many Christians still today that aren't living a resurrected life in Christ, allowing Him to lead the way, give that sense of direction, but they're wandering around this world, still hungering for some sense of meaning in their life because they're not looking to the author of life. Wow. Oh, the miracles and wonders and work that could be performed if we as God's people were being truly directed by Him and not our own selfish ambitions. And I include myself in that right there. For most all of us, the concept of direction and timing in the events and circumstances of life can be very difficult to determine. We often struggle with where we are at in the moment and where we need to be in the next moment to where we want to be in the moments ahead that bring this sense of meaning. Ultimately, it is a search for reason or meaning in our lives that we long for. We want identification that brings this sense of connection, if you will. We want something to prescribe our lives to. That brings us that sense of identity, that sense of who we are, if you will. It's true. If we're truly honest with ourselves, then this is a question that each one of us has asked. Association. Don't we want that? Isn't it amazing to stop and think, you know what? God has created us as relational beings, has He not? From the very beginning, He said, I'm going to give you, Adam, a helpmeet. You need this one. Isn't it amazing that God instituted the church, folks? Guess what? I've said it before. This is not a one-man show. You look at the life of Paul and the great man that he was and the great ministry that he had and all the things that he did. Guess what? It wasn't a one-man show for him. He couldn't have done what he did without the men around him that God had placed to use to perform that ministry. And Paul gives recognition to all of that. God didn't create us, you and I, as human beings, to be isolated in some distant part of the world where we can have no sense of connection to the rest of humanity. That's not the way God designed us. Matter of fact, you look at statistics on all of that kind of stuff, we're individuals that are completely isolated from the rest of the world, and you look at the staggering psychological difficulties and struggles that they face because of that. We want a sense of association in our lives. That's what brings us a sense of meaning, if you will. Thirdly, expectation. Expectation. A sense of hopefulness in it. And this brings us back to this concept of, yes, we're dealing with the questions that answer the here and now, but we cannot ignore or devalue the question that there is something else out there to which we are striving towards, to which we are looking forward to. There's a sense of expectation, if you will. Guess what? If there's not something to look forward to after this life, then Paul says, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for what? Tomorrow we die. It's amazing when you look at the religions in our world and all those different ones that are out there. Ravi Zacharias makes the statement that each religion or each belief system must coherently and correspondingly answer these set of questions. And they are of origin, morality, purpose, and destiny. Any religion or any belief system that does not answer these questions does not hold to be a legitimate, a verifiable belief system. Guess what? It's uniquely when you look at all different religions, the one religion that coherently and correspondingly answers these four questions is the Christian belief system. Because in Hindu, in Muslim, in Buddhism, folks, you can go through all the different stages and processes, you know, fulfill all the five pillars. You know, you can go through constant reincarnations to reach, hopefully, potentially, some state of nirvana, okay? You can, hopefully, through a karma system, maybe do enough good to outweigh the bad. But none of those grants you genuinely, legitimately, honestly, completely, any sense of hope. It's only in the Christian belief system where it says, I'm not good enough, and He is. And it's through Him that I have my sense of origin. I have a sense of morality. I have a sense of purpose. And I have everything to look forward to. Guaranteed in every way. One instance in the gospel accounts that brings to mind when dealing with these elements of identification, association, and expectation was that circumstance where our Lord met with that woman at the well. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 4, we'll read this passage briefly this morning. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to show you some things here this morning that you might have not discovered before in this passage. I'm going to show you how all this ties together this morning. In John chapter 4, verse 5 and starting, it says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee this living water." I want to break this passage apart a little bit this morning for you, and look at things sort of circumstantially here, if you will. Because I do not believe that in any case or in any moment was this a mere coincidence that Christ just happened to show up at this well at this time and that this woman just happened to be walking there to that well at this point in time as well. And it all just randomly through just luck fell into place. Can I tell you something, Christians? If that's the case, then where you're at today in your life, the circumstances that are taking place presently in your life, the things that you are facing, the people that you're around, it's not by chance, folks. I believe that if God is a God that desires the repentance of all of His creation, of all mankind, then He is divinely orchestrating and intricately working in such a way to draw men and women to Him. And that goes without saying then, if you and I are saints of God, ambassadors for Christ, willing to send out this message of the gospel, as we are called to do,
then God is utilizing situations in our lives, utilizing circumstances, putting us in place, surrounding us with various people so that we can be an impact in their lives for the kingdom's sake. That's awesome. Let me tell you something, that puts a whole new perspective on your job, doesn't it? You might go to work and you might hate the job and you might hate the people you are around and you might hate the boss, but guess what? Stop and consider that God has placed you there. God has put those people around you so that you can be a testimony and witness for Him. How exciting is that? And so you're not going just to pound nails then. You're going to be the presence of Christ towards those people. As we look at this passage and the way that things lay out, one of the things to stop and consider, as many scholars have referenced, that it was not a customary time for this woman to be at the well during midday like this. It was often the occasion when men would come to the well, and that was after working a hard day to get a drink and things like that, and it was not appropriate for the women to be there. The question I have in my mind as I look at this is, what was this lady searching for? What was she there for? And folks, before your mind wanders toward the negative with it all, because typically that's where we go oftentimes, as we start to accuse and make judgments without maybe possibly understanding the full knowledge of a scenario or circumstance, folks, we don't really know what orchestrated her this event. It's not given to us to know why this woman was there at that moment in time. We can speculate on this, but we dare not dogmatize it in any way, because the Bible's not clear in that. But what we see here as we speculate is that possibly there were previous circumstances or occasions that would have inconvenienced her from being there at the appropriate time, still in need of water, and going at an inappropriate time. Can I say something, folks? We have all had occasions in our lives that we have this agenda set at the beginning of the day. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get this done, and man, it's going to be a profitable day. Don't you love days when you get a lot done? It's great when you can step back and look at the day, and I got all this stuff done, all my ducks are in a row, and man, I just feel good. What did you do for the Lord that day? What did you get done for God that day? Folks, one thing's for sure, as I've looked at my life in the situations, sometimes I've responded appropriately as I'm guided by God's Spirit, and other times I've responded inappropriately and failed in the ministry opportunity that God has given me. But it's important for us to evaluate and examine here that there are interruptions and there are inconveniences that happen on a regular basis in our lives. And I believe that oftentimes God is getting us out of that routine or that plan that we have it set in place, that agenda that we've got to fulfill, so that He can use us in a magnificent way. What if looking at this is that God the Father, who's omniscient, all-knowing, allowed prior events to take place in the life of this woman so she could be at that well at that moment in time when Jesus Christ Himself was there to offer the words of life to her that would give her that sense of meaning, that would give her a reason for her life. Folks, I think there are people in this world today that are wandering around looking for the very same things that this woman was looking for right here. And instead of ridiculing them, instead of condemning them, what we ought to be doing is putting ourselves in the place where God should have us to be so that we can show compassion towards them. Sorry for the elevation there. As we look at this woman, it's clear our Lord makes statement and recognizes even as well that this woman had been indulging in various relationships throughout her life. She had been wandering from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing, living not for the Lord or even for others, but for the moment of temporary satisfaction, enjoying its sweet flavor for a time until the senses of one's being have become numb to the pleasures that are offered.
G.K. Chesterton made this statement. He said, meaningless does not come from being weary of pain, but being weary of pleasure. So true. So true. Sadly, most of humanity's pursuits are found in this setting. And even more sobering is the fact that many Christians are indulging more in the superfluities of this world than enjoying the resurrected life that is given to us in Christ. One of the things to stop and think, look at here is this woman. And as I shared her previously here, as we look at this passage, many of us probably have read this passage many times before and just looked with such scrutiny upon this woman's life and all that she's been through. Can I say that there has never been a person in time past, the present, or the future to come that has ever been won, ever been saved, ever made that decision to trust Christ through the mode of judgment in any way? Nobody's ever been condemned to heaven in any way. And as I look at this, one of the things that's so unique to me is our Lord knew this. Our Lord knew this woman's life. And if anybody had reason to judge, it was Christ right here. But what you don't see is any condemnation whatsoever. Oh, He identifies factually the issue. But doing so in order to utilize it as an instrument to declare a message of meaningful life to this woman. That's something powerful to stop and consider. Because this woman is not much different than you and I. Oh, she may have been entertaining various relationships, but guess what? What things have we entertained in our lives to bring a sense of meaning to us that was outside of the context of Christ? Are we any better, folks? All of us are searching for some measure of identification. All of us are searching for some measure of association. All of us are searching for some concept of expectation that all together, brought together, brings us a sense of meaning to our lives. This woman, just like so many in this world, was looking for all those things and not finding them because she was looking in the wrong place. And watch this. It is why Christ says, I am the way. I am the sense of direction that you need for your life. I am the very thing that if applied to your life will bring you that sense of identity, will bring you that sense of association, will bring full sense of expectation, will bring fulfillment in every way. Oh, how we as Christians need to grasp this truth. You see, our Lord spoke to these disciples and gave them this truth in eternal connotation. But He didn't neglect the physical need right then and there in that moment. In terms of identification, Colossians 2:10 says this, and you are complete in Him. In terms of association, Colossians 3:1, one of my favorite verses, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Isn't it beautiful? In Colossians chapter 3 is a chapter all about relationship, folks. It's all about relationship. And the first relationship that Paul references there is your relationship with your Lord. Isn't it amazing in terms of association there that all other relationships will not find their correct setting, will not find their correct context until that relationship is where it needs to be? Paul doesn't say this in terms of doubt, by the way. The word there, if, doesn't regard a sense of uncertainty in it all. As a matter of fact, you look at it and it's a sense of clarity in it all. He's saying, as a result of, or since you have been risen with Christ, then the thing that you should be pursuing most in terms of association, in terms of relationship, is Him. That's what's going to bring that sense of fulfillment. Folks, and then this is the expectation. We see the present fulfillment for here and now, but that present fulfillment then also serves as a utensil to point us to the eternal fulfillment that we have. John says, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. We can't go away from that. 1 John chapter 5, these things we write unto you, and that you might know that ye have eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's life in its eternal sense. Life here on this earth in its physical sense. Complete fulfillment in every way. One of the things to make mention of here as we look at this passage back in the scene with the woman at the well. Our Lord was asking for drink. But the one who was really thirsty in that setting was not our Lord. It was this woman. And one thing to remind us here, folks, is that this element of thirst and what our Lord offers us, just the quenching of that thirst, that whole process is not where we find fulfillment. It is through that process that we are pointed to Him that gives us our fulfillment. Let me read it to you here this morning. It is not in the quenching of our thirst which Christ offers that we find fulfillment, no matter what that may be. You know, folks, keep it simple here. But many of us go to our Lord in our lives, and that relationship is more of just a gimme, gimme type relationship. Lord, I need this, 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 and this, and this. Provide these things, my thirst will be quenched, and I'll be fulfilled. That's not the way it works, folks. And it has all the pretenses of not a selfless humility, but a selfish pride in every way that seeks not the Savior's will, but seeks their own ambition. It is through this quenching of the thirst that serves as an instrument to point us to our fulfillment in Him. This morning, the title of this message is called A Quest for Reason. And you might not be deliberately searching right now for some measure of reason or meaning to your life. Maybe you are. Maybe you've realized this morning that you were searching in all the wrong places. You were looking down the wrong path in some way, in some area of your life. I don't know. God does, and you know. Maybe there was something where you were hoping for this to happen, and that would bring a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment to your life. Maybe you're seeking it the wrong way. Christ says, I am the way. I am the very thing that provides a clear direction for your life that gives you identity, gives you association, and gives you full expectation, folks. Our Lord answers the cries of the human heart. If you're here today, and you say, Pastor, I have tried every reasonable source out there this morning. I've tried to live this way. I've tried to find fulfillment in this thing, whatever it may be. And you are right, it has proven to fail me every time. I've said it so many times, and maybe it'll be on my tombstone, I don't know. But I've said that anything done through selfish gain never produces satisfying results. The only time when we find satisfaction and fulfillment in our life is when we go to the author of life. There is a void there that He has placed there, that He has designed in us, that can only be filled with the one who says, I am the way. I am the very thing that brings reason and meaning ultimately and entirely to your life. Is Christ your way this morning? If you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, folks, I can tell you the process is simple. None of us are here because of our own merit. We're here today to worship Him. We're here today to be led and educated by His Spirit because of what He did on the cross 2,000 years ago. That's what it's all about. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what? It doesn't matter if you're Ethan Druckenmiller or Adolf Hitler. If you cry out to God and say, I'm a sinner, forgive me, save me, God's Word says He'll save you. Plain and simple. That's what? There's not any sense of eloquence or oratory skills involved there either, by the way. You don't have to say it just a particular way. You don't have to say it three times for the next 5 days and then it'll be fulfilled. Guess what? If you cry out to Him, He will deliver. He will save. Here today, Christians, I ask you that question. Are you being led by the person of Christ, being directed by Him? Is He your way? David says in Psalm 16, he says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's interesting when you look at that passage there in Psalm 16, I believe it is, that word path means a well-trodden road. Isn't it awesome that God's sense of way or His sense of direction is not ambiguous in any way? It's not covered over so only a few people can see it, only the keen eye. It's made well known. It's completely visible. Here is the obvious path to follow. This leads to life and life everlasting. Is the Lord of your life the way of your life today? I leave you with that this morning. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank You for Your Word, the power that it holds, the challenges that it gives us, and the comforts that it provides. I'm reminded of what Peter says in the gospel accounts as he says, Where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of life. All of us here today, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, can give full testimony to the fact that without You, our life would not be what it is. It is because of the life of Christ in us that we are here today, that we have what we have, that we are who we are, that we are where we're at, is all because of You. God, You are so good. You're so loving. We thank You, Lord, that You not only provide for us eternally, but Lord, You provide for us here on this earth right now in the present moments that we face. And Lord, we don't go through anything in this life alone, but that You are ever by our side. You have promised that You will never leave us nor forsake us. But You are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, Your grace is sufficient in every way for whatever we go through. Father, may we look to You as the way, as the one who is directing our lives in every way today, I pray. Bless this time, bless this message, use it for Your glory, we ask. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand together with